Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
So my Sundays consist of watching NFL football for 10 straight hours and consuming about 5,000 calories. I really do not do that much, but I got one substantial bit of information on Sunday from a valued source. Now, we didn't share this yesterday because I was told and taught by the great Clay Henry to not share anything unless you get it from a couple of different sources. But the text on Sunday I got said, hey, I don't think they're going to play this weekend based on the information I have. And we went into detail, and he gave me reasons, and I was like, okay, this could be a possibility. Well, Tommy, the possibility was confirmed yesterday when it was announced from the SEC office and the University of Arkansas that the Missouri and Razorbacks game has been postponed this week. And it's the news of the day. What are your thoughts on it? 877-377-6963 on a Toyota Tuesday. Make sure you check out the full lineup of 2020 Toyotas, including the Camry, the Corolla, the Prius, the Avalon, or the spacious crossover F4. Hey, it's almost Christmas time. Take advantage of the holiday specials at your local Toyota dealer. Toyota, let's go places. And I know you weren't too shocked either to see the news, but it's more disappointment that when it hit our phone screen.
Yeah, you had shared your information with me, and again, we didn't have enough to go on the air with that. And we brought this conversation up with Tom Murphy yesterday that we had our doubts about playing and getting those players back from quarantine. It would be interesting to hear what Sam had to say in his noon press conference yesterday, and that's what we were waiting on. And when he went into details about the number of players, and none of the players you were missing on that defensive line, Rakeem Bull, none of those players were going to have enough time to be back for the Missouri game, your wheels started turning. You're all right. You don't have those guys. You're already at 56, he said. Then you had Sunday testing. Like, if anything happened at all, you were out. I mean, it's just not going to be, unless you wanted to do what Mississippi State did and play with 49 players or something of that nature, then, possibly you could move forward with a game with, walk-ons and non-scholarship players. But I don't think Arkansas was wanting to do that when taking on Missouri in a game they probably feel like they can win. And honestly, they'll never say it, probably their last best chance to win a game. I mean, let's just, be big boys here and let's just say what it is. You play Missouri and Alabama. It's your
Coors Light cold hard facts.
It's a Coors Light play, exactly. So
it's not a fact, but it's a fact.
So this is not a game you want to go in shorthanded. You want to have everything you need to play it. You don't have, as Arkansas, a game on the 12th or 19th of December. So it works for Missouri. And I would imagine they're going to end the season as though they kind of want to every year. Playing Missouri is somewhat of a rivalry game. Were we surprised? No. When I heard the news at noon, I thought there's about a 15% chance they're going to play this game. And then at 5:30, we found out for sure.
Tommy, you mentioned what Sam Pittman had to say yesterday. It felt uneasy throughout his press conference. Sam Pittman's usually pretty chipper. Now, not following losses, but over the course of the week, he's happy. He's go lucky. Didn't seem to be the case yesterday. You and I are both under the impression that he knew something was in the works. Here's what he had to say yesterday as far as guys being ready for the Missouri game.
There's so much going on, man, with the test and with injuries and with concussions and, there's so much going on. Can we get a guy or two back? Sure. I think the timeline has been that we could possibly get one or two guys back. But then you've got to look into injuries, into yesterday's test and all those things. And certainly our numbers aren't any better than what they were Saturday.
What the SEC should do is let Arkansas schedule a cupcake team this weekend so Jalen Catalon can sit out for the first half of that game instead of having to sit out for the first half against Alabama. Now,
that was like my second thought was, Jalen Catalon's going to miss the Alabama game. But I'm okay with that. I mean, after I processed that a little bit more, I don't really, as we were talking about, let's just be honest, where do you need Jalen Catalon more? A full four quarters against Missouri or a full four quarters against Alabama?
And you're 100% correct when you think about that, but it is frustrating to watch when your best secondary player, and you're going to have Mechie and Najee Harris running into gaping holes where the safety misses tackles, and then Devontae Smith's just going to be streaking down the sideline, and everyone's going to be looking at it, where's Jalen? And it's like, oh, he's out the first half. And as soon as he comes in, hopefully that will be a resurgence for that defense. But I think it's...
Need your offense to have about 20 minutes of possession.
Exactly.
In the first half.
I think your perspective is correct, because whether we like it or not, Arkansas at this point in time is simply just not ready to compete against the Alabama Crimson Tide. That being said, you very much are ready to compete and beat Missouri. So if you really, really think about it, if you take your personal selfish opinions and say, well, we just want Jalen the whole time. Well, of course you do. Sam Pittman, Barry Odom, Sam Carter feel the exact same way. But at this point in time, I agree 100% with your perspective. You would rather have Jalen Catalon the entirety of that Missouri game. Because again, if it's scheduled, if it lays out, we'll see what happens on December the 12th, or if it gets shifted to 19th, depending on what happens, then you have a much better chance to win that football game.
I totally agree. And I think Arkansas also wants to make sure that they are healthy and ready to go for that Alabama game from a COVID standpoint. And, you know, he went through concussions. That's something, you know, you're out for some period of time with concussion protocol. We know those things were the things we worried more about when we didn't know what the word COVID meant. And you want to make sure of your Hunter Juracek. You don't go play at Missouri and it puts in jeopardy your ability to play the December 5th game against Alabama. And I know you don't think about it these ways, but I guarantee you, you know, Clayton Hamilton or his CFO up there, they've put some things into perspective financially for him. You can't afford to miss home games right now. And if you miss that home game with Alabama on the 5th, Alabama's schedule is not clear the 12th and the 19th. They are already tied up with certainly the SEC championship game on the 19th, unless he gets moved. And there's going to be Alabama playing somebody most likely on the 12th of December, would be my guess, and probably maybe LSU if they decide not to play the LSU-Florida game that day and play the divisional game of Alabama-LSU. The league has not made that decision yet.
And here's what you also need to consider about this. Now, we saw Tennessee fans as of yesterday go ballistic because their game was ripped away from them. The Vanderbilt-Tennessee game was scheduled to play this week, and now the SEC said, no, Vanderbilt's going to play Missouri. So Tennessee's just sitting here like, what the bleep? Like, what are we doing this weekend? Because nothing is happening for the Vols this weekend. You watch. Just telling you right now, Arkansas has a chance where they don't play Alabama this year because they're going to rip that game away and reschedule it for some sort of reason, either for LSU or something. Watch that happen.
You're right.
And you know what? Even though that a lot of you want to see just Alabama because they're Alabama, and you want to see Mac Jones, Devontae Smith connection, Najee Harris, some of the most talented players in the country, it would actually be better and more beneficial if Arkansas didn't play Alabama and either just ended their season with Mizzou or they got thrown some SEC East team. Whether it was South Carolina, who have you not played? Vanderbilt. Who's the other one? Who am I blanking on? Kentucky. Those would be the three teams that are possibilities as far as that goes. Because you play Florida, you play Georgia, and you play Tennessee. So just think about that. Are we missing one more? Is that three? I'm trying to do this on the fly. Just think about that. That is a possibility as far as that goes.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Been part of our Thanksgiving traditions to have either LSU or Missouri on the field with the Razorbacks. And this was a weird year for me. They've rarely in recent times played the Saturday after, so it's always been the day after Thanksgiving. There was that one time because they moved the Iron Bowl to that Friday that Arkansas was not able to play on that Friday. But, you know, that was the other just kind of oddity this year. Arkansas is playing on Friday, right? No, not this year, you know, because it was always the end of the season and what you did. So now to not even have a game after Thanksgiving, I've been doing this job for 16 seasons, 16 football seasons. I've never had a full weekend on Thanksgiving that I didn't have football responsibilities. This is, what am I going to do? You know, that's weird.
It's going to be,
I guess I'm going to watch a lot of the other games.
It's going to be odd. And like you mentioned, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on Arkansas basketball as they tape on Lipscomb. And you mentioned before the show, there's a chance that they could move that game.
Well, I don't know. I hadn't heard anything like that. I'm just saying the reason you had it in the evening is to not compete with your football game. That's why you would schedule it that way. Arkansas can put their basketball games where they want or need to, and it's on SEC Network Plus, so it's not like TV is an issue. So they would have the freedom, is all I'm saying. If the university decided, you know what, we want to play a little bit earlier in the day, they could make that choice now. I'm not saying they will, I'm just saying they could.
What's the better? Because this game's scheduled at 5:30 airtime here on ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com. What would be better for...
Well, my guess is they're going to do nothing and leave it.
They're just going to keep it? Okay.
That would be my guess. I'm just saying now they would have the freedom if they wanted to move it up to a 2 o'clock game or something of that nature. But you know, you've already set all of the logistics in place, all of your staff that has to be there to put everything in place, parking attendants, you know, people. You know, my guess is they'll not move a thing at this point. But I was just telling you, you know, football was obviously the reason they were playing it at 5 o'clock.
News on the golf front, John Daly is recovering after undergoing a surgical procedure related to his cancer this week. He is hoping that he can play in a father-son golf tournament in December. Now, he was diagnosed with bladder cancer back in September, and he's doing everything he can to fight it. He wants to play with his son, little John Daly, who, by the way, has signed with the University of Arkansas golf team on the December the 17th to 20th through an event at the PNC Championship. So that's something that I know John's fighting very hard for, to compete with his son, and would be quite cool to see both John Daly and John Daly Jr. compete in this.
Absolutely. So wishing him the best in a recovery. Anytime the C word is brought up, you know, it gets scary. And so you just hope everything's fine for John, and that the recovery is, you know, not too difficult to process.
Former Razorback Brandon Allen has been signed to the practice squad for the Cincinnati Bengals per Tom Pelissero, who works for NFL Network. And I got some bad news if you're a Bengals fan. Joe Burrow has torn his ACL, his MCL, and he suffered other structural issues in his knee. So it sounded bad at first when it was an ACL. Tommy, we found out it was that much worse.
Yeah, and so those generally... For the normal human being, take a year to get over. For an athlete with round-the-clock care and rehabilitation and physical therapy at your beck and call, 9-10 months. We've seen it a little bit faster than that, but you just look at the calendar right now. I guess the start of camp next year is probably the next time he'll probably be able to go through football activities, would be my guess.
And I know there's going to be a lot of pressure on Zach Taylor and see what he do. So we just mentioned Tom Pelissero, who again broke that story about Brandon Allen. Well, we also broke this story on the NFL Network concerning the Dallas Cowboys.
If the Cowboys go on a run here, we might look back on this win over the Vikings as the sledgehammer game. Saturday night at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I got to get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon.
Just a great story as far as just invoking a response from the football team. And, hey, Jenkins, like that might be. That might be known as the watermelon game.
Hey, yeah. Whatever works.
You remember there used to be a comedian named Gallagher.
Yeah.
Y'all may be a little young for that, but that was his whole shtick, is he had this big wooden mallet. He'd smash fruit. That was the shtick.
His thing.
Check that out. So that's what I was thinking of as they were relaying that McCarthy story there. But it's amazing the things coaches can do, such as what the story goes there with McCarthy, that galvanize and bring a team together at least for a day or two to win a football game.
Reminded me too, kind of like with that, with when Musselman did the Undertaker rise up from the grave and different things like that. You're right, little things like that. I mean, we both played basketball, and coaches always had their little shticks to kind of get teams brought together, and particularly for the Cowboys, who needed it worse than anything right now to try to get this thing turned around. Which, by the way, tied for the division lead now with 3 wins in the division. Thank you very much.
I'm thinking they're not getting the cleaning deposit back on that ballroom in the hotel.
I would probably agree.
I'm guessing whatever Jerry's going to have to pay a little extra.
Jerry covered the bill on that. And you brought up kind of coaches doing something demonstrative or an example of something. I remember we were playing Fuller Middle School, which I think is Oak Grove's middle school, if I remember that correctly, in basketball when I was in like junior high or like 8th grade. And our coach, Coach Lane, came in and snapped the clipboard in half. Because we were playing so bad, and we ended up winning. Wow. It's sometime how like it's like that one little act of not necessarily violence, but something, or as McCarthy did with something that like focuses you like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, we need to actually play now because of this. So, but cool to see McCarthy get the Dallas Cowboys revved up, beat Minnesota. They will take on the Washington football team on Thanksgiving. Last quick headline for you: NFL last night. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fell at home to the Los Angeles Rams at Jared Goff. Now, Goff typically does not play well on the road, but he was on fire last night, connected with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods all throughout the night. And this is a little revenge game for Sean McVay and Jared Goff, because if you remember, Tommy, the New England Patriots beat the Los Angeles Rams in the Super Bowl years back, and it was not even, I think it was 13-3 was the outcome. So they got a little revenge against Tom Brady last night.
Yep, and TB12, you thought could put together maybe a postseason run that would end in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. They're going to have to start playing better football if that's a possibility, because it's right now not looking good. So,
because right now they're in the thick of the playoff hunt, but the New Orleans Saints are ahead of them in that division. And then you just have, it's wild right now, because you got to remember there's 6 teams they're making the playoffs this year? Is it 8? It's an addition. It's 8 this year. Yeah. So you have an additional this year. So it's going to be a fun playoff hunt as far as the NFL is concerned when it comes to what's going to shake out this year.
I think it's 6 wild card games, if I'm not mistaken.
I just remember.
Where normally it's 4. I think you added 2 extras for mm-hmm. 3 teams from. Yeah, I think there's 6 wild card games this year.
It's going to be a quiet and entertaining day, nevertheless, when it comes to playoff football in the NFL. And that's going to do it for our quick Kenny headlines here on the Morning Rush.
They are brought to you by the Kevin Hickey Law Partners. If you're building a home, that could be stressful. Trust me, just remodeling a home is stressful enough. But when you're building one, it's tough on the contractor, it's tough on the homeowner. You got changes in plans, subcontractors not showing up, non-payment. All of these issues can cause homeowners and contractors to be at odds. If this is what's going on with you, it could result in a lawsuit. You might need the lawyers at Kevin Hickey Law Partners to walk you through your legal options if you are on either side of this, as the homeowner or the contractor. Having an experienced attorney to represent you is critical here. Call Brad Hall or Kevin Hickey, 479-434-2414. That's the River Valley office number, 802-6560 in Northwest Arkansas. You can find both of those numbers and more about them online. New website address, artriallawyers.com. That's artriallawyers.com for the Kevin Hickey Law Partners.
So this Razorback fan named Jeffrey responded when Jalen Catalon was announced that he was not going to be able to play in the first half of the Missouri game. Well, now it looks like he's probably not going to play in the first half of the Alabama game, depending on what shakes out with the Razorback schedule. And he said, I get it, Coach Pittman is a great guy, but sometimes for the long-term betterment of your program, you've got to stand up and call it who and what it is. Sam Pittman responded to that, and he seldom does. I think he's done it only one other time since taking over as the Arkansas head coach. And he said very strongly, Twitter gives guys like you opportunities to sit behind a cell phone and tweet out random things that you have no idea what you're talking about. I can take a lot of remarks, but for you to say that I don't take up for my players is as far from being correct as you possibly can be.
Did that guy get ratioed? Is that what y'all call it?
Yes, Jeffrey very much got ratioed. As far
I don't know
as
who Jeffrey was. I clicked on his profile. He had 75 followers, so I guess he's not too awfully worried about it. But, the last thing you're expecting when you're talking noise is the actual head coach to respond to your tweet, but that's what happened because he was responding to one of Nikki Chauvinel's tweets, and I'm sure Coach pays attention to a lot of the recruiting folks, including Nikki's Twitter activity and social media accounts. So he kind of got caught with his hand in the cookie jar there, so to speak. And how can you make a statement like that when the first thing I think of in that defense, I mean, if you're going to have, if you were, let's just say, having to put on a defense for this for Sam Pittman, the first thing you think of is him attending the social justice rallies to represent his team and to help and be there for his team. I mean, what do you mean a guy that doesn't stand up for his team? He's backed him in every way he can. I don't know why this would be any different. The reality is there is no appeal process. There is no changing the call. The ruling on the field is final. It is, it, and that's the end of it. So what else do you want him to do other than publicly say he disagreed with it? I mean, at some point you move on.
Well, and that's why I was wondering, because I was intently watching Sam Pittman when Catalan was initially tossed, and I was watching every bit in his movement. He was having conversation with Mark Curls, the head official, as well as some other officials. And then as soon as that call was confirmed, he went off in ballistics. So not only he was angry and sticking up for his player during the game, he also stuck up for him after the game following in the press conference. And all he did on Monday was confirm that he's not playing and he can't do anything about that. Now, I don't know if Jeffrey was advocating for him to get fined like Lane Kiffin did, because Lane Kiffin was very outspoken against the officiating in their game against Auburn. I don't know if that's, I mean, what else do you want? Do you want Sam to, and Sam's like,
listen, this is just an idiot with a phone. That's all you had going on here. I mean, listen, everybody's got a right to free speech and to prove their lack of knowledge on a subject. And this is exactly what this cat did.
So let me ask you something, not directly to what Jeffrey was saying, but did you like Sam Pittman responding to this? Or should he have just let it go?
It didn't bother me.
It didn't bother you?
Yeah.
Okay, because some people, I've seen two sides to this argument. I've seen some people ecstatic seeing Sam Pittman mm-hmm. stick up for his players and stuff on social media. I've also seen some people on the other side of the token where they're like, why are you responding to some knucklehead on Twitter? And I get both sides of the argument.
I could get with either side of that, but I think there's certain things that trip people's triggers. And when someone knows, I mean, if someone accused you of being lazy, that would really hack you off.
Yes.
They can accuse 100%. You of a lot of things.
Yes.
But if they said Ty doesn't work very hard at his job, that would really anger you.
Correct.
I think there's just certain things that, oh no, you're not going there. You can say a lot of things about me and I'm gonna let the water roll off my back like a duck, but you're not gonna say that. And I think this was that in that bucket for Sam Pittman. Oh, you can criticize me as the coach, and you can do a lot, but you're not going to. I don't care who you are. I don't care how few of followers you got, Jeffrey, anonymous man with 75 followers. You are not going to say, I don't stand up for my players. Because at that point, he's got to stand up for himself and his team and his program and everything he's about. So I think it was just one of those things that, all right, you cross the line with where his line's at. His line was...
Not saying that you don't stand
exactly.
up for my players.
Exactly, that was it for him.
And you said mine would be, see if someone called me lazy.
That or if someone said you didn't eat healthy during the week, even though we know that's a lie, you still get very defensive when we challenge your dietary choices Monday through Friday. You try to stand on this.
Let me tell you, I let go of the
nutritional Bible of, oh, I eat healthy, I eat chicken and rice all week. And then I see pictures like last night on Twitter of fully loaded pepperoni pizzas, and you know, I just wonder what's going on here.
But yeah.
You do get defensive when we challenge two things: your work ethic and your nutritional choices.
Yeah, those two things. I will say this: as of last night,
and we know one of those is a lie. Yeah. The other one, you're pretty good at.
As far as that goes, last night, cards on the table. Again, I do try and eat healthy throughout the week. It's
there you go, make an excuse.
It's awful on the weekend, but I will say this: as of last night, I got a delectable Heritage Pizza Parlor
what?
Pepperoni
what?
Pizza.
It looked like a double pepperoni.
And not
really
only that,
did.
I had an ice cold Razorback Bud Light.
Whoa!
Which
so
again,
now he's drinking during the week.
He said on these airwaves, we need to find the tape. I do not drink during the week.
I do not drink during the week. Eat chicken and rice and healthy all week.
Tommy,
so
did you drink
on the
last
weekend.
Night?
I did not.
Because, you respect Ty's decision, so you don't want to, like, yeah, I get it. I didn't drink either. don't know if I can sit next to you.
Like I said, I let go of the rope this week. It's Thanksgiving week. Arkansas game got postponed. I needed a
so a little postponement holiday is all you need to just let go.
He had a rough day yesterday. He got awfully emotional during the show yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
His face turned into Rudolph. His face turned as red as Rudolph yesterday.
Very irritated and angry yesterday.
Nothing will fix that like pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, it was absolutely nutritious.
What place was it that did the shakaroni? Was it
Papa John's?
Papa John's. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but it was so good.
It looked good.
Yeah, it was very good. I will say, I did have a little self discipline. I didn't eat the whole thing. I only ate 4 slices.
How many slices were in there?
8. But the only reason I didn't eat the 4 slices is because I had my leftover La Huerta about 2.5 hours before.
So now we're having Mexican food and pizza.
Yeah.
How does he not look like me?
I don't know. Or me. Yeah.
What do I always say? Built different.
Boy.
So let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Welcome in our favorite caller, Kagan, who is out in Piggott, home of the Mohawks. Kagan, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
How y'all doing this morning?
Man, we're good, man. A little disappointed that Arkansas-Missouri game's canceled, but it is Thanksgiving week, and we have a lot to be thankful for here on the Morning Rush.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. It's disappointing, but in reality, in my opinion, I think that's actually something good. It'll get the people on the team that need more reps and more, you know, more training of their job or whatever you want to call it. I think it's good that we got this game postponed because there's some stuff that we can work on and we can capitalize on this extra 2 weeks for the players that we do got for practice. You know, they can get better, and that's what we need. We need to work on, I guess, maybe different packages or get, you know, the special teams lined up. We need to do something because if we got a healthy team against Missouri, I don't see them standing a chance. And this ought to give us plenty of time to maybe get everybody healthy and all that. But we also got Thanksgiving break. People that go see their family, you know, we don't know what's going to happen there. But anyways, I think this is a good thing for our team because it gives everybody a chance to get healthy and get back to where they need to be. That's going to play a big part in the Missouri game and whatever game we play or whatever. Even if it's Alabama, if everybody's healed up. I know we probably ain't going to win that game, but we got a better chance with everybody.
Kagan, I agree with you 100%. You can always look at these type of scenarios as glass half full and glass half empty, and you are looking at it as a glass half full where they're getting healthy for not only Alabama but Missouri, and you want to be healthy for that game against the Missouri Tigers, which could be your final football game this season, because you would like to head in to a potential bowl game on a high note. So I think in this scenario, as a Razorback fan, you need to be looking at this football game postponing as a positive rather than a negative, even though you do want to watch your Razorbacks on Saturday.
And if we do play Alabama next, which, you know, maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know, you know. Somebody else makes those calls. But if it does get out of hand, like the second half or third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever, I mean, I'd like to see KJ or Malik. I mean, we've yet to really see what they can really do. I know we know what KJ can run the ball, but he can throw the ball too. They just haven't let us see that. And that's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, KJ throw a pass or Malik throw a pass. I want to see something from those guys. I mean, that's the future of our team. You know, I'd love for Franks to come back, and maybe he will, but I mean, I really want to see those young quarterbacks we got because they're both highly recruited and highly regarded. I mean, I want to see what they got. I know they can throw the ball and run the ball, but I got to see it.
Okay, Kagan, appreciate your call this morning. I do agree with your first point. I don't necessarily agree with your second because I think Felipe, and I know he threw an interception in that LSU game, but Felipe has been dynamite for you this year. I mean, he has a chance. I don't know where his completion percentage is now, but we mentioned this earlier. He has a chance to have the all-time single-season completion percentage in Razorback history. His deep ball has been unreal this year.
But all he's saying is, if the game gets out of hand against Alabama, and there's a chance that will happen, just kind of like it happened at Florida, could we see one of the younger quarterbacks get a little more time in the second half? He didn't say replace them as the starter. He's just saying when the game's out of hand, why not?
Like,
why keep playing Felipe? I mean, I agree with what Kagan's saying.
Okay.
I mean, why risk injury with Felipe? Because you're going to have a difficult time beating Missouri without him. And B, you do need to develop some of these other guys. give them some confidence. Let them know that they've earned some playing time based on, you know, their efforts to prepare the team throughout the week and on and on and on to keep guys engaged and plugged in. So if the game is lost at that point, that's making an assumption, but we know Alabama has the ability to do that. Why would you not? Now, you know, playing against Alabama's second lines can still be very difficult because they have a lot of team depth, but I kind of agree with Kagan on this one. He's not saying replace him as a starter. He's not saying give him first half snaps.
He just wants to see him at like the tail
mop up duty.
Do you have a preference that you want to see at this point between Malik and KJ?
I haven't seen Malik, so I don't even know. I don't have an opinion there.
It's kind of either or at this point. Or would you rather?
Well, I mean, I'd like to see maybe Malik Hornsby because I haven't at all. Right? I mean, he's come in and had what, one series? They brought him in for one of these goal line packages that didn't work. But they've done the same thing with KJ. I think that's the only time he's been on the field this year. I mean, to say that, I mean, I can't draw a conclusion about his ability to be a quarterback based on that.
Based on one play, yeah. I would probably agree with you on that. You
know, so I'd like to see him in a situation other than that.
Yeah. I mean,
basically, that's where we've seen, other than at Florida for a little bit with KJ, that's where we've seen the backup quarterbacks is some goal line packages, more Jefferson than Hornsby. I think we've only seen Hornsby once. And
I think you're right.
They've quit doing that in the last four games or whatever, four games.
And the fans are appreciative of not taking it.
We've quit seeing gadget plays, and we've quit seeing that.
Especially with Felipe's completion percentage and decision-making in the red zone. It's been pretty superb at this point.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Arkansas needed another bye week. They played eight games, scheduled games to this point. Now, you don't want COVID cancellation for any reason, but this is actually going to play into your favor. You're now going to finish off, assuming the schedule plays out as we think it's going to, you're going to finish your season with Missouri rather than finishing your season with Alabama. And you get basically 2 weeks to game plan for the Crimson Tide, which you're going to need every single bit of that was you can get. Now, it sucks Jalen Catalan's not going to be able to participate in the Alabama game in the first half, but as Tommy and I have talked about, when you actually look at it, Clay, it's going to be much better for the Arkansas Razorbacks in terms of having him for the entirety of the Missouri game, assuming that's how it shakes out.
Yeah, I'd rather have him for the entirety of the Alabama game, but that's another matter. You know, if you're... I guess you're chalking that up as a loss before you play the game, and I don't like to do that. There could be some targeting and some injuries and some COVID for Alabama, and they may come in here with 55 players, and you have a chance. So I'm not gonna give that one away before you even play it, which I think that's what you're doing. So I don't look at it quite the way you're looking at it, but again, I probably want my chance at Alabama, and maybe you don't.
Well, here's the way. I think in 2020 with COVID stuff, the way you're looking at it is probably better. But if this was a normal year, I mean, like, how many injuries would it take for you to compete against Alabama? Like,
all it takes is two guys getting COVID and 12 guys being contact traced. That's all it takes. That is just so slim.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, Clay. Like, in 2020 with COVID being related to college.
That's why I said that. Yeah.
So I'm agreeing with you as far as that goes. Yeah. So I think your perspective as far as that, but because this is not a normal year as far as that's concerned, but I mean, let's just be honest. If we're going to be open about this, Arkansas would need a lot of help. And, I mean, we're not wishing COVID on anyone or injuries on anyone or players getting suspended, but they would need help to beat Alabama or compete against Alabama, for that matter.
As the rosters are constructed, Alabama is clearly the better team.
There's not even a debate. The talent level, the second team, it doesn't even matter. So, I mean, the way Mac Jones has played this year at the quarterback position, I know they lost Jalen Waddle, but that offense hasn't skipped a beat as far as that's concerned. So, I mean, if I'm looking at this game, is Alabama going to beat Arkansas, and I'm saying that 2 weeks from now, then I'm going to stick to that until we have something disastrous or out of this world happen for that football program, which, as we know, with 2020 very well could. But as it stands right now, I don't think it's unheard of for me to think Alabama's going to beat Arkansas. I don't think that's an outlandish take for me to have based on what I've seen from the Crimson Tide and what I've seen from the Razorbacks against superior quarterbacks in this league. It's that, and an offensive line. I don't think that's an outlandish take to have, Clay.
You just say whatever you want to, Ty.
Okay. If you want to say that Arkansas is going to beat my Alabama, you go.
No,
ahead.
But I'm saying it's too early to say that. I mean, I'm just saying I don't. I listen to a lot of what you say, and I go, "Oh my gosh, he's given up already." I mean, it's there. All it has to be is for Mac Jones to turn an ankle in the next 2 weeks,
and then Bryce.
That's
Young
all it has to do.
And then Bryce Young's going to come in and probably throw for 400 yards. Like,
yeah, but he might have COVID. Listen, you just take your chances from week to week, and this is college football, and I don't ever want to give away a chance to beat Alabama. I mean, I just don't want to do it. And I want a chance at those guys. I look at them the same way I did Texas. I want to play them.
Okay, look.
I'm not going to concede. That's, so
listen, that is the mentality that every Razorback player should have. But if we're being honest and we're being upfront frank about this, how would you rather end your season?
I've already told you, I don't go down that road, Ty.
No.
You can say it. You can say it 20 times.
Clay,
I don't care.
Clay, just let me ask you this question because you didn't even let me finish it. Would you rather end the season and get an opportunity to play both Vanderbilt and Missouri and have your chance at two SEC wins, stack you up at 5-5, or have a chance?
What are you doing now that's a hypothetical that's not
I'm
out there?
Just asking you a question, Clay. I mean,
I want to play Alabama and I want to beat them.
I do too. I want to beat Alabama. You haven't beat them since 2006. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. I want a lot of things in life. It's not going to happen in Sam Pittman year one that you're going to finally beat Nick Saban. It's just not. And you putting that in people's head that
okay,
it's even a possibility.
You're saying they got no chance. I got it. I got what you're saying.
That it's even a possibility. I mean, do you honestly think that can you sit here on a Tuesday and think that's going to happen in Nick Saban, of all the years, in Sam Pittman's year number one? I mean, Tommy, you want to help me out with this? Where do you stand on this?
I don't think Arkansas has much of a chance to beat Alabama.
Thank you. I mean, I know we're thankful for Arkansas football, but I don't want to ever...
Call me back in the next segment. This is pitiful.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Clay, you've talked about how several of these games this season, teams that you're playing, the better teams you're playing, they're coming off tough ball games. Well, this isn't Cam Newton Auburn or Nick Marshall Auburn, but it's still the Iron Bowl. It's still a heated rivalry game.
Auburn's played better of late.
And that
they
is
have actually got kind of settled in their offensive line a little bit better.
Beat Tennessee this past weekend. So I think if you're looking at it from that scenario, Arkansas getting 2 weeks to prepare for Alabama, it couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah, they may get 2 weeks for Missouri because that game may end up being on the 19th.
Correct.
They may be off on the 12th. That has not been determined yet. The SEC is going to still look at what games need to be rescheduled. So the playing date of the 12th is an option. The playing date of the 19th is an option.
And Clay, to your point, I wonder of the 12th and 19th, because, yeah, that's what we talked about, is it has not been confirmed for the next date of that game. I wonder if the SEC, with the championship game being played on the 19th, that they've already said, and they've already come out a couple weeks ago and said, we will have the possibility of playing that game. Now, remember, they moved the time. Typically, it's around, 3 or 4 in the afternoon or 2:30. They've moved it to 7. That's when the
championship
for the SEC championship.
That's to allow for games to be played throughout the day.
And they don't want a single SEC game being played during that championship game. So I wonder if they have the chance and the opportunity to squeeze as many of those games on the 12th as possible, just so attention isn't being taken away from that SEC championship.
Yeah, I think if neither Arkansas or Missouri are playing on the 12th in another makeup game, then you play it on the 12th. And then that also, there's a potential for both of those teams to be playing in bowl games. So that in the bowl games are going to come pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking about playing in the middle of December, so that gives you more time to heal up and be ready for a bowl game.
Yeah.
And I think the bowl
the 12th is the better option, yes.
Yes. And now when you say the better option, you're talking about for both
from the SEC's viewpoint.
Yes. Yes. But I wonder, I mean, you're talking about getting ready, getting healed up for the bowl game. Clay, if you're Arkansas, do you want another bye week off to get ready for Missouri, but then have to follow that up with what could be a quick bowl game after? Well, in your opinion, what's more important, getting a bye week for Missouri or not having a bye week for the Missouri game and then getting all that time off for the bowl game?
Well, I think it just depends on what your health situation, both COVID and injury-wise. You know, you could be without some players. I don't know. I mean, I guess you wouldn't know that till you got there.
And I think
whatever results in a win is what you want to do.
That's probably the best. And then also, guys, y'all think about this, is it also depends on what bowl season looks like, because we've seen the projections. We've seen Arkansas in the Music City Bowl in Nashville. We've seen them in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. Yeah. We've seen them in the Texas Bowl in Houston. We've also seen them in the Outback Bowl in Tampa. There's no guarantee that they're going to do bowls or what those are going to look like and what those are going to be. You can end up in Birmingham for the whatever bowl that is that the SEC is a part of. So I wonder Sam Pittman always comes out and says we treat every game the same, but I would think, now this is just my opinion, curious what y'all's is, I would think that beating Missouri is more important than beating whatever bowl team they play, unless it's like a Texas or something, so like a rival or a Southwest Conference opponent.
They are both important. And I'll tell you why the bowl game, and I know because you don't know who it would be and where it would be at, but it's your last impression, it's your last image. And you live with what happens in that bowl game for months. You know, you lose to Missouri, you have a bowl game to redeem yourself. The bowl game is the lasting image for recruiting. It's the last message you get to send to your fans who are going to make a decision to renew or not renew season tickets and donate money. So bowl games are important for a lot of reasons more than just that extra W.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I get the question. It's kind of strange because signing day is, you know, the bulk of the players are going to sign in December. Mm-hmm. And you haven't been around those players much. And, you know, that impression might be more important this particular year than a bowl game when, you know. Yeah. But by the same token, you know, there could be an awful lot of games played on the 12th around the country, and the TV viewership is divided up, and you get a bowl game that's in prime time that more of the nation sees, and more of the recruits that are still out there. You know, the five or six spots you're trying to fill in February. So I don't know. It's a coin flip, but I think it's a good question, Ty.
And I wonder just how that's going to shake out. But again, we won't know. They'll schedule the Alabama-Arkansas game next Monday, 6 days in advance. Well, I'm assuming that math's right, that they're going to put it on Monday. And we'll see what happens probably the following week as far as the Missouri game goes, Tommy.
We are brought to you by Pinnacle Telecom. That's who we trust here in the Morning Rush studios and for our company to provide us with high-speed, dedicated fiber internet. It's been several years now, but Pinnacle came out, and we've been partners with Pinnacle for years, but as the upgrade of technology has just evolved, we upgraded to fiber service. They came out, dug a trench from the right-of-way out in front of the studio building all the way in, buried it underground, brought fiber into the building, and since then, the internet solutions that has provided for us and our ability to just have stable, high-speed service has been incredible. And you can name the speed you need. Some businesses need a gigabit because they have much bigger facilities and much greater demands. We were able to pick the upload and the download speeds we need because we stream so much audio and video. Uploading speeds were important to us, and they worked with us to design the perfect connection, and it works great. Call them today if you have those needs or business telephone needs. They can work with you. 479-242-0000. These are the local people. That's why I don't give you an 877-866-888 number. You call local people when you call Pinnacle Telecom. 479-242-0000.
So Sam Pittman told us yesterday that the players, they got, and again, this is subject to change with the game getting canceled, but they are going to have practice early on Thanksgiving Day, and then they're letting them go home. Now, I don't know, with there not being a game, what's going to happen as far as that goes with the practice schedule, but many of these young men will get a chance to eat some really good food this week. And so I pose this question to you. We've already got a lot of listeners that have texted in, and you're welcome to get in on this 877-377-6963. What meat are you eating on Thanksgiving? Now, a lot of you will say turkey, which is absolutely fine. But then some people will say Cajun. Some people will say smoked. I'm getting a deep fried one from Arts. Mm-hmm. But we've actually gotten a couple of interesting texts already when it comes to what people are having meat-wise for Thanksgiving. Bill Qualls texts in. He says, we are having an untraditional Petit Jean bacon breakfast. Well, interesting. I mean, there's nothing wrong with good slab of bacon.
You said I can have a 16-ounce, 1-pound filet or a pound of bacon. That's not an easy call for the filet. You know what I mean? A pound of Petit Jean bacon, that'd be a good way to start your Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I have a friend that is really a good chef, and I mean a gourmet chef, and he I'll just tell you his name, Jeremiah Gage from Ozark. Lives in Colorado now. I think he might be listening in Northwest Arkansas. He's in the state for Thanksgiving. And when he cooks, he tells me bacon is your friend.
Absolutely.
Anything you're cooking, bacon is your friend.
Tell me anything that bacon is.
Heavy whipping
better.
Cream, yeah. Bacon, those are ingredients that make any dish great. So I've learned from him. My Thanksgiving meal, I usually kind of poll the group that's going to be there, and we'll have 9. I don't know what kind of laws we're breaking, but I will smoke for a midday meal. I will smoke 2 whole chickens, some baby back ribs, and a pork loin. So there's some like one thing, some like the other. The whole chicken seemed to be a big hit, and they turn out a little better than the turkey, a little more juicy. So that's kind of what I've gone to, kind of been hit or miss with turkeys.
Yeah, and we'll do the turkeys, but Christmas is the holiday we have went. I mean, we're very traditional on Thanksgiving. Mom's bringing broccoli casserole, and she's bringing the green bean casserole and all the things that, she may only make once a year. I'm not giving up my once a year stuff. I don't care if it's 2020 or not. I don't care if COVID's one of the ingredients. I'm eating it, because mom only makes these certain side dishes once a year. And so we're going to eat them. And turkey's going to be part of it because I enjoy the left. You got to think about leftovers. What do I want to be eating on Friday? What do I want to be eating on Saturday? And by Sunday, I'm ready to throw it away. But, you got to consider these things. Those turkey and Swiss sandwiches you get for a few days after it, the leftovers, where you can blend a little bit of the dark meat with the thigh and the leg and a little bit of the breast. Woo-wee.
It's funny you bring that up. Because
you got to have a good loaf of bread before before the stores close on Wednesday.
JT in Hot Springs says that you and him talked about that last year, the Thursday and night and Friday night sandwiches that you just mentioned.
Maybe even put a little bit of stuffing on your sandwich with a little cranberry.
He says turkey is a given, but bake a brown sugar glazed ham. Now, John in Nashville texted in deer meat. Have any of y'all ever had deer meat on Thanksgiving?
We had backstrap or deer tenderloins a few years ago. Absolutely.
B from Clarksville texts in. He says, this year I'm riding solo for Thanksgiving, so he's thinking ribs or hot dogs. You ever had ribs or hot dogs on Thanksgiving?
Not on Thanksgiving. I mean, I love both ribs and hot dogs. If I was going to choose one or the other for Thanksgiving, Clay, I think the ribs are the easy call.
You can do some fun things with hot dogs. A little chili, a little cheese, a little onions.
Yeah,
turn them into fire dogs.
You can do both. I mean, if you're going to get the grill fired up for ribs, you can just have some cook's meat there. So have some... A little something to sample on as the ribs smoke.
I'm trying to stay away from hot dogs as much as I can because there's still a possibility that I lose my fantasy football league and have to eat 76 in a week.
Forgot about that.
So I'm trying to stay away.
Kind of rooting against you. I want to watch this 70 something hot dogs in a week.
It'd be great content for this radio show. No question about it.
I don't know if it'd be great, but it'll be content.
And I'll eat them during the show, so that's something you'll have to suffer through these breaks. Craig texts in, he says, smoked turkey, duck, ham, and with any luck, chicken wings. Now, I've never had chicken wings. I've had one. We mentioned a turducken earlier. I've had a turducken once, and it was really good. Now, it's a turkey, and it's a chicken stuffed with duck or a duck stuffed with chicken.
Yeah.
One or two? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's all three, some of the best meats out there, but that is something that...
It's generally a Cornish hen when you get down to it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, a little small
little
one.
Little baby chicken.
Little baby chicken, yeah.
Now, I'll say one thing my dad did one year. Now, this wasn't on Thanksgiving, but it was Christmas. He did quails one year, and they were spectacular.
Pheasant?
I think that's the only time I've ever had that. But it was
Sure, all the lead and steel shot her out of it. And there ain't no lead no more, but you know what I mean.
My original plan this year was to smoke six Cornish hens, but that got vetoed by the family.
The key to all of this, if you're doing poultry, if you're doing chicken, Cornish hens, as Clay mentioned, which is just little small chickens, of course, or big turkey, you know, 12, 15, 18-pound bird. The key to it, and hopefully you've already started this, A, thawing out, but B, you got to brine, man. The brining is the critical step most people pass on. And injecting won't do it. I'm sorry. Injecting is not enough. You need a good 24 to 48-hour brine on your turkey to really get it done right.
Yeah, and then one of the reasons why I've got
chickens too.
You multiple to racks. Yeah. So I've got the chickens on the bottom rack.
Are you brining them?
The ribs, no, because I've got ribs and pork tenderloin on top, and they baste the chickens.
Yeah, but that brining gets deep down in there, and you go to another level when you brine them.
Colton in Fayetteville texts in. He says, my in-laws do Thanksgiving breakfast every year. Now, we typically have those Sister Schubert sausage rolls for breakfast, and then we eat our Thanksgiving dinner around three or four.
We do Christmas breakfast about 10, 11 o'clock. And now that I've got the griddle, the Blackstone.
It's going to be dangerous.
We're going to another level of breakfast this year at Christmas. Let me just tell you right now.
Corey and Rogers texting.
Breakfast cooking machine.
He says, we smoke turkey throughout the year for homemade pot pies. So for Thanksgiving this year, we are smoking ribs and pork butt. That sounds... Listen, hey, there is nothing wrong with good old
nothing
barbecue.
Nothing wrong with any of this stuff.
It's good old barbecue.
I'm sticking with my turkeys on Thanksgiving.
Greg says fried spam with stuffing. I don't know if I
fried
can get
fried spam's
it.
Good. I'm not having it for Thanksgiving, but a fried spam sandwich ain't nothing wrong with that.
We used to make spam creations for this camp I used to go to called Brook Hill, and that kind of turned me off to spam when I was a little kid.
Taylor in Georgia wants to know if it's really true that you don't like mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese. Homemade, craft, restaurant.
This is just
can't do it.
This is just weird, Clay. I mean, how do you not like macaroni and cheese?
Well, I think he's un-American, but that's okay.
Yeah. We all have our flaws. That's definitely one of mine. And I've tried a variety of different ones. It just doesn't sit well with me. And I'm not typically picky about pretty much anything, mm-hmm. but that is one of the weird odd ducks as far as that conversation goes.
So mac and cheese, another trick is when you're, you know, a little bit of heavy whipping cream and bacon. You know, bacon. And it just changes everything.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.